Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast.
Really interesting one this week. I saw on your socials, you get asked quite a bit, and actually I get asked this a lot in person at the events we do and things. If you had £50,000, what would you do with it?
So if you had £50,000 to invest, what would you do?
Yeah.
Do they always ask 50,000? No one's ever got 48,000, 52. It's always 50,000. Okay. So if I had 50, well, I think the first thing is, it depends a little bit as to your financial position.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, for example, let's say you have just lost your job and you've got £50,000 and that's all you got in the world and it's like, what are you going to invest in? Well, you'd probably invest in something very different to someone who had a steady stream of income coming in because you're in a completely different financial situation. You're going to be in a situation where you're burning through that money quite quick unless you get some more income coming in. So are you going to get another job or what are you going to do? So I think it does depend very much on the situation.
So shall we go with, to start then, someone who has just lost their job, so has got 50,000 in the bank, but needs to make this work.
Okay, so in that case then, my next question will be this. If you just lost your job and you got 50 grand in the bank, you're going to want to get some cash flow coming in quick because you need, you know, we talk about financial freedom, and financial freedom is where you've got passive income coming in that covers your expenses. Now, I don't think it matters if that is a job that's coming in that's covering your expenses, as long as you've then got time still to do the stuff that you want to do, right? But you need to be in a situation where you've got money coming in. So if you had 50 grand and I was thrown in that situation, what would I do? The first thing I would do is I'd start a property entrepreneurial business.
Okay.
Because I'd be thinking, I need to get some money coming in quickly because the longer I don't, let's say you're spending 3 grand a month just to live. Every month that you don't, that 50 grand is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, right?
So what does that look like then?
So for me, I would probably set up a rent-to-rent business if I was doing that. So with a rent-to-rent business, there is a bit of an outlay. Let's say you normally might have to put, say, a deposit down. You might have to give some rent up front. You might have to furnish the property, depending on the situation. There'll be small, minimal costs involved in, in getting your photos done and putting it up on, a channel manager like Avivo or something.
Yeah.
So you probably need, 3 or 4 grand probably. So, but each property, as long as you get the right deal, if you rent it out as service accommodation, should bring in a grand a month. So you're putting 3 or 4 grand out, but you're getting a grand a month back in, as long as you manage it correctly.
Would you do deal selling?
That would be my other option. That would be your other option. Would be to do deal selling. Now, it depends on the situation you're in, because if you're for me, deal selling is more of a business. You need customers who are going to buy deals off you. You need to go and to find those customers is not like super easy because it's like starting any business. If you're starting as a personal trainer, it's very difficult to get customers immediately, right? Because it's a brand new business. You've got to build up credibility. You've got to go networking. You've got to build contacts. So if I was starting from absolute scratch and had nothing, I don't think I would do deal selling to begin with. If I just lost my job.
So would you say deal selling as a business is harder than the rent to rent?
It's funny because I would probably, if it was me in my situation, I probably would do deal selling.
Okay.
But I've got contacts, I've got experience finding deals, So if it was me, stripped from everything, let's say I lost my job somehow. It's difficult when you run your own business.
Yeah.
But let's say something happens,
I fired you.
Yeah, you fired me. Yeah, we split up. You took everything I have. Took everything. Took my name, took everything. I just had my knowledge, right? And I was in the situation, I probably would do, well, I'll say that. I still got my contacts though, right?
That's the thing,
right?
You can't actually lose those now, can you? You'll always have them. You could never get those stripped from you.
I suppose the only way you could get your contacts stripped from you is if you did something like horrendous.
Yeah, so they actually didn't want.
Yeah, if you got a bad rep.
Yeah, so you lost them because of doing something so they don't want to work with you anymore.
Yeah, yeah, so you damage your personal brand.
Okay, so say you did something really bad like that.
I damaged your personal brand, yeah.
So they don't want to work with
I
you.
I killed you, right?
Okay.
So, but no, it's going to be something bad, but not so bad you're in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, prison is ultimate financial freedom. You don't have to work a day in your life. You're totally financially free. You've got a roof over your head. You've got...
So basically, if you had 50 grand, you would spend it on doing something highly illegal.
Yeah, I'd become a bank robber. Now, I heard a funny joke, actually. I'll see if I can close about butchering it. You know, it's talking about gratitude. And it said, you know, some people, it's just never enough. Like, I've got a friend who is completely financially free, has sex every single day.
Solid.
And he still moans about how much he hates prison. I probably made it perfect, but I heard that joke the other day. I thought it was quite funny. Anyway,
that is funny.
Yeah. So if I was sort of experienced in the property industry, had got good contacts, and had to find deals. I think deal selling is brilliant. So deal selling, you just find a deal, pack it up, sell it. Make a fee on it. I think that is a fantastic strategy of making a lot. I mean, I know so many deal sellers who are making 30,000-40,000.
Oh, yeah. If you've got the contacts, it's amazing, isn't it?
And you can build the contacts. It's a great business to get into. It's just not super quick.
No.
And the context that we said was, you've just lost your job. I need money like now.
Yeah.
Every month I don't have money. And, you know, look, you look at someone like Samuel, who does a financial freedom challenge, and he starts all over again, and he's selling deals within a week.
Yeah.
Right, so...
It's possible.
It's very possible. Yeah. But would anyone be able to do that? I think it's a... I don't know. Maybe deal... Both are very good options. But I'm gonna go with this situation, I'm going to go rent-to-rent, right? So we're going to go away. We're going to get 3 rent-to-rents. Now we are... Now we've only got 40 grand, probably. We're probably only got 40 grand. But at least we've solved the problem of having our cash flow issue... coming in now, so we now can just worry about investing the 40 grand. So that was the first thing I'd do. Then what I would do is probably what I would do if I had 50 grand if I still had a job.
So how many rent-to-rents have you got there?
I've got 3.
And you only spent 10 grand?
Yeah. Yeah, so each rent-to-rent, because obviously it's just a rental, so I'm having to put down a deposit, I'm having to put down a little bit of furniture maybe. You can lease the furniture there.
I think 10 grand's quite...
No, that's pretty standard.
And to set up your business and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think about three grand per property, I think it's fair.
Okay.
I think it's fair to set up a rent-to-rent.
Okay.
So you're not talking masses of... I mean, we're not going to go... It depends what sort of rent-to-rent you go for. If you go for a property in London, then yeah, it's going to be a lot more. But I'd probably be looking...
Oh, so you don't live in London?
Well, I do, but I wouldn't get my rent-to-rents in London. Because suddenly it's a load of...
Ah, so interesting. So if you lost your job right now, you wouldn't do them where you live. You would...
I wouldn't do them in London, no. I wouldn't do them in London. I'd have a look. I mean, I really like areas... They are a bit far, but I really like areas like Manchester and Liverpool.
Okay.
I think they're really good areas for rent-to-rent. I mean, the other problem we've got in London, of course, is the 90-day rule.
Yeah.
So if you're doing serviced accommodation in London, it's... Well, you can't.
Yeah.
Do it within Greater London. So that's a bit without getting planning permission, which is not really worth it on a rent-to-rent. So you'd have to be looking at the outskirts kind of anyway. I mean, there might be areas that work well. I don't know for sure. I mean, most areas work well for service accommodation, really. It's just a case of how much you're paying for the monthly rent.
Yeah.
You know, the more you're paying for the monthly rent, the more money you have to put up front, the more money you've got.
Well, that's what I was
deposit.
Thinking, because I think in my head, I was thinking, you were talking about 3 rent-to-rents down here. And
yeah.
I was thinking... Oh, wow. I feel like 10 grand's on the...
No.
But, yeah. So you'd get your rent-to-rents up north.
Yeah, probably up north. We're in the Midlands. Probably I'd go. I mean, you know, you could go even maybe like Warwickshire, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice place.
Oh, that's a lovely place. That's a great place to do.
Not too far from us.
Yeah. It's a great place to do essays.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be looking... It depends on the areas. I think it's important as well to do an area that you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, especially... I mean, with buying, I think it's even more important. But with rental, I think it's important as well. I remember we got pitched a development deal. I know this development, you're buying it, it's a bit of a bigger deal, but it just shows the importance of knowing the area. I got pitched a development deal. and it was for an old pub, and they'd got outline plans in place. It was on an option agreement. So planning wasn't full, but they spoke to a planning consultant, and they had plans drawn up to knock the pub down and to turn it into 8 terraced houses. And they drew a sort of quarter of a mile circle around the pub. And they said, look, here are the comparable properties within a quarter of a mile that have sold. This one was 150,000, this one was 170,000. And they worked out the value based on the comparables, which is correct. That's what you do. However, I happen to know the area really well. In fact, you'll know the area really well as well. It was actually, do you remember when we used to live in the Mosley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, that pub.
The pub on the Mosley.
Okay.
Right. And they'd drawn the...
Oh, I remember this now. We got pitched that.
They'd drawn the circle around the pub. Now, because you know the area, you'll know this very well, but it's in the Mosley. Basically, it's a big road. I think it's called Broad Lane.
Yeah.
That runs down. And on one side of Broad Lane, you've got the Mosley, which is where the pub was. And on the other side, which is where we lived, which was the poor side. This was when we first got married. So this is like...
It was the council estate.
15 years ago. Council estate side.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side of the road, they had the...
Turnberry
Estate, you remember it. And the Turnberry Estate was like the night... I mean, it's still...
Remember when
rich.
Samuel moved there?
Samuel lived on...
We were on the side of the bridge.
Yeah, that was Samuel lived on the Turnberry Estate, and we lived on the Mosley Estate, which was kind of rubbing it in a little bit. Yeah, we soon moved after that. Yeah. After that, I can't live in a worse area than Samuel, you know. They say that you shouldn't compare, but you can't help it, can you? So the roads run down the middle. We had there's a quarter of a mile, circle around the pub. And the pub was right on the edge of the Mosley. But what had happened was most of the comparables were on the Turnberry.
Yeah.
And I looked at it straight away. And someone who really knows the area well, I was like, well, those comparables aren't comparable.
No.
Because the ones on the Mosley, and you get this a lot in places like London, where you've got one side of the road, mansions.
Yeah.
And the other side of the road, absolute crap hole of a road. And it's like, well, yes, they're very close, but you can't, you have to compare apples to apples. You can't compare that mansion.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be the same size square foot as your sort of dump of a terrace across the road, but they're not comparable properties. And I see this quite a lot with when a lot of our students bring deals and they have comparables. It's like, they make it their mission to find the nicest houses within a half a mile radius. It's like that house there is on a gated estate with a large drive and a massive back garden. And it's a detached house. Yours is a terrace.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same here. But often, you know, you can tell by looking, but sometimes you can't.
No.
With this situation with the Turnberry and the Mosley, it, you know, from...
You could tell a little bit by looking, but you probably wouldn't have known
The
absolute extreme. The one side did look better, but the extreme of the house prices and how it was across the bridge, you'd only know that by living there.
Yeah, you would. So I think it's important if you're rent to rent a bit lesser, but if you're buying, which is what we'd get onto with our £40,000, I think it's massively worthwhile knowing the area because it allows you to do your due diligence and checking. I mean, checking the end value of prices or the value to see how much they actually would be worth or are worth now, super, super important. When you know the area, you know the local knowledge, you know the roads where they're not worth as much. You know the street value, you get to know the area. Whereas if you're buying
And you know where people actually would want to go and where they wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to invest in the right areas, don't you?
Yeah, and sometimes they can be so close.
Yeah, they can. And it can literally be, like you say, this was literally the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
What, 1 minute drive?
Less than a one minute. I mean, like
it was
probably
about a 1 minute walk.
1 minute
wasn't
walk
it?
From one to the other.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, our house, Samuel's house, was probably a 1 minute drive. But from the Mosley to the Turnberry, you could probably do in like 20 steps.
Yeah, was crazy. That was. But also another reason I think it's really good to know an area. So as we were saying, like the rent to rents, I think it makes if you do an SA it easier to run because. You probably know, if you've lived there, you know builders, cleaners.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, you kind of are more aware of who you can call upon.
Yeah.
Well, if you're miles away and have no clue of the area, no clue, I think it leaves you in a bit of a vulnerable position, or it's certainly a lot harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we've got SAs in an area that we used to live. So we've got all our contacts there. We know who we can send out. We know, like, yeah, everything about that area, the problems, the, you know, what could go wrong in that area. And I think that really helps.
Yeah, and you've got your contacts and stuff like that, that, like you mentioned, that you know. But you also know, like, when we actually, we've bought properties around and literally buying it on the location. Just cause, yeah, I know this location's amazing. Yeah, yeah, I'm not too bothered about the house. I'm, you know, buying for the location.
So we knew one of the properties we bought, because of the location of it, that we wanted one really near the city centre, but with a parking space, because, yeah, we know that parking around there, if you don't have a parking space, we're going to just get loads of people turn up, we can't park. And because we know that if you're going there, it's hard to find a parking space. Mm. So the last thing you want to do is go to an SA there without...
Which would be an absolute nightmare.
Well, you wouldn't know that if we hadn't lived in that area. You'd just go, oh, it doesn't matter that it hasn't got a parking space.
I think local knowledge is, I wouldn't say it was absolutely essential. I think you can, I know people, for example, that have invested in Grimsby and they just choose a patch,
yeah,
Grimsby or whatever. And then they go up and they do the viewings in Grimsby and they get to know Grimsby. And the reason they choose Grimsby is obviously it's a very cheap area.
Yeah.
And that works fine. But I do think if you know the area, if you've got that local knowledge, you know the people, you know what they're like, you know where the nice places to eat, you know.
Well, yeah, because you do get asked that with SA, don't you?
Yeah.
We get people go, oh, so where would you recommend? And if you've just never really been and never, you just, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, have a look around. But it feels that little bit more personable if you can go, oh, yeah, actually, there's a great Indian down the road you can go to. I think...
Yeah, no, 100% agree, 100% agree. So that'd be the first thing I'd do. So you could do deal selling. Actually, the advantage actually of deal selling, with deal selling, you wouldn't have to spend the 10 grand.
Yeah.
So if you did deal selling, I mean, there's a little bit of money you have to spend. You've got to get, you know, you want to sort out, you probably want to join a mediation service, you know, like the PRS or TPO or PIMS. There's a little bit of compliance and you need your contracts and there's a few things that you need. But you're not going to be cashing out 10 grand to set up your deal selling business.
No.
So at least in our imaginary scenario, I mean, if you were quick and on it, I suppose the other thing as well is, interestingly, although I said it wasn't as quick, and I do think that, with deal selling, with rent to rent, obviously you've got your outlay to begin with, but also then... Like, yes, you might make a grand a month, but the first month's normally a bit slow. We know this from experience. Yeah. When you do it, it takes a little while to build your reviews and start getting your bookings coming in. And even if they start booking straight away, they might be booking for a month's time or 2 months' time. So it probably takes a couple of months before it starts properly cash flowing. So then you might be sort of 3 months in, realistically. Yeah. Whereas with deal selling, there's no cost. I'm winning myself over, yeah, now on the deal selling in that situation.
And then it's quick.
Quick, bang, cash, yeah, 3 grand, bang.
The big one, though, with deal selling is, I think it's a different skill. I think you need the property knowledge, like you do for the rent to rent, but you've got to have the skill of networking. It's a totally different... So if you're not someone who wants to go to all the networking events, because you've got to find the investors, you can't just be behind your computer and find a deal. Because you've got no one to sell it to. So I think you have to have that as a like...
You've got to be a salesman.
Yeah, you can't just be, oh, I like property.
No.
Like, you, yeah, so it's a different skill, that.
But so now, now we're saying it depends on your personality.
Yeah, I think it does a bit, because I think some people, I think, like you say, I think anyone could do it, and you could just teach yourself, like you do. Like, I'd just teach myself and go, I'd go out there and just go to the networking, find the investors. But if you're not that way inclined, and you really, and you're nervous, and you don't want to go to the networking events, I think then you've got to kind of do... the rent to rents instead, because I think if you haven't got that skill, you're not really going to get very far with the deal selling.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I do think that it's much more of an entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
It's just a normal business.
Yeah.
Really. It's you're selling a product like you, or a service like you would any, if you, like I mentioned, if you're a personal trainer.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get clients. It's the same, it's the exact same with deal selling. It's quite a high ticket item as well. So it's not like an easy, oh yeah, I'm selling, I've set up an online shop and I just need to advertise and people are going to buy it because it's a book and it's a tenner.
Yeah.
You know, it's big ticket, proper sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I'm not sure. So I do one of the two.
Yeah.
You may have swayed me around to deal selling actually, but...
I think you would. I think you'd do deal selling.
Oh, I definitely would. But I suppose the question is, what should someone else do? I definitely would do. I think it depends on your personality.
Yeah.
Anyway, Once you've done that, then you're going to want to start investing the money. And I always say this, there's two different types of income. You've got your fast pound, you've got your slow pound. So your fast pound, that's normally your active income. That's the money that you work for. In this case, that would be your rent to rent or your deal selling. Or if you haven't lost your job, that would just be your job. There's nothing wrong with, unless you hate your job. I see so many people, you know, quit your job. It's like, ooh, don't rush to quit your job. Your job's paying the bills. You can do the other stuff in the evenings and on the weekends, you know? So you don't, unless you hate it. Do you remember when you were working at M&S and you absolutely hated it?
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, if you hate it, just quit it and we'll figure it out. How old were we then?
Oh, I was 22, I think.
22.
I'd worked there since I was 18.
So we didn't have loads of money at the time. And we were just like, look, if you hate it.
And I did hate it.
Because it's making you depressed. Yeah, yeah. It's like, just leave and then we'll figure it out afterwards. Yeah. So I think if you're in that situation, fine. However.
But it is tough. Like, you do have to... that was a big step for us, wasn't it? And we really did have to figure it out because I just quit my job.
Yeah.
And we were like left with hardly any money and we were just like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big deal at the time. We were living on a council estate called the Mosslyn. You heard of it? jealous of my little bro who was on the Turnberry the other side of the road. Anyway, so then you're going to want to start investing the money and that's going to be your slow pound, your passive income. And I think property is obviously one of the best investments that there is. You know, you can see historically over time, if you look over the last 100 years, it's actually slightly, because I went back and did the maths, slightly more than doubled every 10 years. Because you hear that saying a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
Property doubles every 10 years. It's actually slightly more than double. So if anyone says that to you, go, it's not true. It's slightly more. but yeah, property does increase massively in value over time. It also pays you great cash flow, especially if you know creative strategies such as serviced accommodation, that we touched on earlier, or HMOs, social housing. There's ways that you can really maximize the rent. But what I would do is I'd be looking to buy a property that was completely run down.
Yep.
Again, you've only got 50 grand to play with. You're not going to be buying in London. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. We're going to have to go back. We're going to have to go back up to the Midlands, back up north, somewhere like that, and buy. You know, you can actually buy properties in certain places up north outright for cash, 50 grand.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm so used to the house prices down here now. That seems ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's funny because we do the crash courses, and when you go to the crash courses, Samuel always asks. So what's the average household price? And you can tell by the different areas that you're in. Down here, it's like, 700 grand, 500 grand. And then you go to like somewhere like Hull. It's like, 40K?
That is mad.
I'm exaggerating slightly, but you get the point. So yeah, it's massive, the discrepancy. But you'd want to buy a cheaper house. Again, I love places like Manchester, the Midlands, Nottingham. This sort of area I think is really good.
Yeah.
Kind of in the middle. It's not really cheap. So you can get nice parts, nice areas, but it's a lot, lot cheaper than it is.
Yeah.
Than it is down south. So you want to buy a property, it's really run down. And what you want to do, let's say you go to a street, and on the street, every house is worth, for example, 200 grand. And then you've got one property that is an absolute wreck. It's completely run down. It's it's not shifting. It's dropping in price. You might be at auction and you can get that for say 110 grand, for example. As long as you can then refurb it and get it to the level of the other properties for considerably less than the 90 grand that you're going to have to put in, suddenly that would mean you'd pay 200 grand. Suddenly it could be a great deal. So if you could do that for, say, 40 grand or 50 grand, so you're now 150, 160 in, it's worth 200.
Yep.
You do it up, you refinance it, you get a mortgage on it. They would give you 150. So if you managed to do 40 grand, you'd pull all your money out. Might be slightly over. But that allows you to buy a property. And you do this, of course, using bridging finance, probably, to help fund the refurb.
Yep.
Or you could find investors, or there's lots of different ways that you could do it. But you refinance, pull your money out, and then suddenly you've effectively got a free house. I don't know if you saw the video with Samuel and Krept, where Krept came to Samuel and said, oh, you haven't bought a house, and he bought the house in Liverpool, they went around it, and Krept pulled all his money back out of that property in Liverpool, again, like we've just sort of area we mentioned. And it was like a no money down deal. She's got property. And what did he rent it out as? He rented it out as a HMO.
Yeah.
So now you're renting out room by room. You're making all the cash flow. You've got your money back. What does that mean you can do? You can do it again.
Yeah.
It's not the it's not fast pound.
Yeah.
It's not like rent to rent. It's not like deal selling where you're going to make the money instantly.
Yeah.
But you're going to be making money in so many different ways because you own the property. It's going to be opening in value. We just mentioned they double in value every 10 years. So let's say it's worth 200. That means in 10 years' time, it could be worth 400.
Yeah.
But you've got the cash flow coming in as well, paying you, let's say you're making a grand profit from the property. That's 12 grand a year. And, I know it's like, let's say, but just look at some of the properties that we've bought that have done this exactly the same as what I'm just saying now, right? So, we bought them, took 250 grand 4 years ago, got a valuation the other day, 350.
Yeah.
That's 100 grand in like 4 years, right? Yeah. And it's been making us 12, 15 grand a year profit ever since. So it's not like this is, out the way, unreasonable, unbelievable. It's very, very, very possible.
Yeah.
I suppose a big question would be, this is what, a lot, it's easy to say what you'd do if you had 50 grand. I suppose the question would be, what would you do if you didn't have any money at all?
Yeah.
And then I'd go back to the first answer, rent to rent deal selling alongside your job probably. Because if you're got three rent to rents, you're earning 3 grand a month.
Yeah.
Alongside your job. It doesn't take long for that
to build
start
up,
growing.
Yeah. So we did this situation where you've lost your job, 50 grand. If you hadn't lost your job and you just had 50 grand, would you just go straight to BR?
Yeah.
Basically, you just would miss out the trying to get the...
I mean, I might miss it out. It depends what my job was.
Depends if you wanted to leave your job.
Yeah, if I enjoy my job, if I've got a good job and I'm making good money and I enjoy the job, I'd stick in the job. If not, if I'm working at McDonald's, right, and I've got the money because I inherited the money, I'd be thinking, well, I need to replace my job anyway.
Yeah.
I might as well do... I think the great thing about property is there's so much money in property that you get paid well for pretty much anything that you do.
Yeah.
Right, so the skill of being able to sell a deal, the skill of being able to go and find a good property deal, package it up and sell it to an investor is probably not much different from the skill of, people that run like Facebook Marketplace shops where they go and get free stuff from Facebook Marketplace, they package it up and resell it. You've seen the videos, right? It's probably a similar skill, a similar level of skill, but they're making... If they're doing it with furniture or something, they're making 100 quid.
Yeah.
As a deal seller, you're making 3 grand.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because of the space that you're in. I remember Stephen Bartlett in his book, The Diary of a CEO. He's obviously a marketer, and he talks about how he's getting paid by companies to do their marketing, and he got a certain amount of money for this. He then got headhunted by a pharmaceutical company. And the pharmaceutical company said, I want you to come and do work for us 6 months. Could you put a quote together? And he's like, yeah, sure. What are you thinking? And they told him the price they were thinking. And it was like 5 times more than he was normally charging. And he was like, I could never justify charging that in the industry that I'm currently in.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be worth it to them. If it's a normal entrepreneur and you're just doing their marketing, their profit margin might be so that they can't afford more than they're paying because the ROI is not there, right? Whereas if the pharmaceutical industry is because they're making so much money, more. And property is the same. Property, we just talked about how much you can make, doubling in value and all this. So for someone to pay 3 grand to a deal seller, it's nothing. In the grand, they're buying a 300 grand house.
Yeah.
Right? It's like 1%.
Yeah.
They've got to pay stamp duty. They've got to pay, it's just, it just gets wrapped up in it. Because I always think it's interesting.
And for these, of not having to, this is a good deal, have it. And they're just like, I don't want to, I just want to be given a deal. It's worth 3 grand,
I always think it's interesting how people negotiate house prices, right? So let's say the house is up for 200 grand. And then you go like, 190. And they go, 195. And you go, go on, let's go. That's like 5 grand, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it's not. It feels like you're talking almost in hundreds of pounds, like £195. The way that we just flippantly, whack on another two, meet in the middle. It's 2.5 grand.
Yeah.
If I said,
what we got off our house?
Go on, I can't actually remember.
So we knocked this house down by 200
200 grand.
200 grand. Wait, and at the time it just felt like, oh, like
that's another nothing, house.
But that's like 200. Like they, we knocked them down by 200,000 pounds.
Yeah, but because of the percentages, it doesn't feel very much.
It felt like, oh, it's only like 0.2. Like, but actually, that's ridiculous, isn't it? When you think about it, when you're talking about, you can buy a house for 50k.
You could buy it outright. You could buy a house outright. Four houses. In, yeah. You could buy a whole housing estate. And you could, oh, you just knock it off. It is crazy. But it goes up. When you're dealing with big numbers, it makes it feel smaller.
Yeah.
The percentages. Like, oh.
For that deal, 3 grand.
Yeah, 2.2. That sounds about the same.
Yeah.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 250 grand, 240 grand. Ah, yeah, it's 10 grand or 200 grand. Okay, sure, you're talking about, which is crazy. If you were buying something else, like if I said to you, oh, do you want this table? It's 200 grand. You'd be like, F off. Like, that's outrageous. Or even if it was
I found it for you, so can you give me 3 grand for that, please?
Yeah, give me 3 grand for sourcing it for you. What the hell? But because we're dealing with such big numbers, it feels... And at the end of the day, it is all about the value that you're providing, right? And for the 3 grand you're providing the value, it's worth it to them because of the money they're going to make from it. So it's a brilliant industry to be in, property.
Yeah.
So if I was in a job, I'd be thinking, unless I love my job and I would make good money from it. Like, I do speak to some people, footballers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wouldn't say to a footballer, whoa, leave your job and do rent to rent.
Yeah.
Because that'd be mental, right? Or I was speaking to a guy the other day who's an IT consultant, works part-time, makes 15 grand a month. It's like, dude, stick to that.
Yeah.
That sounds great. You've put all the hard work in, you're doing that, you enjoy it. What on earth?
And
do that.
Where it's really good for footballers, if you've got a job that you know it's good for now but isn't going to last, footballers is a great example. So they're getting lots of money for a short period of time. It's brilliant for those kind of jobs. Because we were a bit like that in, obviously we were in entertainment, and that only lasts for a certain amount of time because we were going to become too old to be in that industry.
Spit it for yourself, but...
But it's great for those kind of people. Save up, do property investing on the side while you're getting all your money coming in, and then you can live off it afterwards. I think that's why so many footballers are now doing property, because back in the day, you had all the footballers that suddenly, they had all this money for like 15 years, and then within like 2 or 3 years of finishing football, they were all broke. And they were like, but we went to nothing. We had all this money, and then we had no money. And it's crazy, isn't it? And I know so many footballers now that do property.
They're becoming wise to it, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They are becoming more wise to it. They are sort of thinking a bit ahead.
Rather than just in the moment.
Interestingly, especially the younger players, the sort of 18, 19, you know, they seem to be really thinking about it and getting in touch with people like Samuel and coming along to crash courses. And they're actually really keen because they know potentially when you're 18, 19, you might only have 2 years left.
Yeah.
Because you've not properly made, you might not make it. Even if you're at a big club like Man United or Arsenal, it could be it. And even if you make it, you...
But even, not even footballers, people like, who are entrepreneurial, set up their own company, you don't ever know if that's how long, that could just disappear. Now, obviously, we're in property as the company, but say we weren't, say we ran a painting and decorating company, but we'd set it up from scratch and it was thriving and we had loads of staff. But you never know, do you? And if we didn't property invest on the side, one day, if the company closed, you're left with nothing.
Sure.
So I think for that as well.
You're also in that situation where when you're relying on your business, because you kind of stuck in it forever.
Yeah.
And when you stop doing it, it's you know, if we look at...
Yeah, if it's your business...
It's difficult to stop.
Yeah.
Unless you set it up so well you can sell it. But most people, I know you're talking about, like most sole traders or people with 2 or 3 guys that are in their team, very difficult for them to stop. And if they stop, it just goes down the path.
So I think for them, doing property on the sides...
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Well, I hope that answered the question.
Forgot what the question was now.
The question was... If you had 50 grand, what would you do?
That was it.
But guys, thanks ever so much for tuning in. I'm being Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.